Kendrick made a diss track for Kendrick fans. So it's 6 minutes long, has three different tempos, four different flows, and really intelligent wordplay. And Drake fans are like, huh?
Drake fans are just like, yeah, well, he still makes more money.
His handbag is more expensive, and that's why he's a winner.
He's had more songs that get played at Target.
That's it. Have you seen his stock? His stock is so impressively valuable. Like, in this diss track, Kendrick's like, I'm still at the Chinese food joint, right? Like, and I'm hanging out with my family, and Drake fans are like, successful people don't eat Chinese food.
Every time Drake gets into it with an actual rapper, like, the response from all of Drake's fans is basically if Dallas Cowboys fans argued they won the championship because their team made the most money. Like, it is like all those years when Texas didn't make a bowl game, and they would brag about how much money they made. That's Drake fans in every one of Drake's beefs.
Yeah, the problem is that Drake is the ultimate neo-capitalist rapper. So, like, he's like, no, this isn't art, this is business, and he's a warrior of business. I feel like every Drake listener is like seconds away from being like a serious Optimize My Life Huberman podcast listener.
They're all the same as like Elon's reply guys. Those are Drake fans. Like, yeah, brilliant gambit, sir. You got into it with like the best rapper. Brilliant gambit. And like, he beat the fuck out of you for 6 minutes while doing cartoon voices. And you're gonna dial up some more AI or some shit. Brilliant gambit, sir.
Well played.
He walked right into it, didn't he? Stock prices have never been higher at Drake Corp.
Hi, Ryan. You're on mute.
Sorry. I'm laughing thinking about Drake on the stock exchange.
Business is booming. It took a small dip this morning.
People are talking more and more. Hey, we're talking about him right now.
Heck, 6 minutes of talking about Drake. That's great for business.
Yeah. Look at that.
Drake bought the moon. What have you ever done?
That's true. I like in the diss track, like, he says Canadian, like it's like it's a slur.
Yeah, I mean, in context, because like, Drake did the shit where he's like resurrecting Tupac's voice and like getting sued by Tupac's family, and so it's like, who of all the people to attempt that, a Canadian is the one attempting that?
The Drake. Although they both were theater kids, so they can bond over that.
There's a lot of that going on, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Kendrick is a whole troupe at all times.
Yeah.
And now a performance of me hating Drake.
I appreciate the return to form on the diss track that this is, which is, I hate this guy.
Yeah, fuck this guy. Like there's like two lines about, like, let's compare our business dealings, and then it's right back to, I don't like the way you walk.
I don't like the women you fuck. That's an actual line. Just to be like, ooh. Him?
And like, yeah, like it does get into like the old you're girly stuff from so many rap records in the past. But with Drake, I mean, the amount of like misogynist shit he's talked.
Hit him where he lives. Yeah.
I mean, like, if you talk all this shit about, like, you can't stand this woman and that woman, and you like, you treat this woman poorly and think that's funny and all this shit. And so, like, I don't know. I guess it makes it feel more like fair game and less like it's like bullshit middle school talk. I don't know. But otherwise, anyway, Drake business has never been higher.
I have the feeling, by the way, this is the difference between this and like the Pusha T track. The Pusha T track was, I have a dossier and I am going to present this dossier in a damaging fashion. And by the time I'm done, you'll be like, oh, counselor, please stop. The jury is ready to vote. You've revealed this man to be a sham, a fraud. Whereas this one is like, hey, you know our neighbor, Frank? I fucking hate Frank.
Fuck him. I will now say fuck him in seven different voices over three different beats. I love that Drake lost the Pusha T round so badly that all Kendrick has to do is say Pusha's name and he scores points here. Like, he's like, that guy's got all the research. I'll just mention it.
Yeah, I'm hyperlinking. Here we go. I'm going to link to the piece.
in this. Layoffs at Drake Corp. Uh-oh.
Here's more investigative reporting.
Hey, way to cut way to increase the margins and cut payroll, King. Well done.
If not for these fucking journalists like Pusha T, the one thing holding our business back.
Drake Corp moving to Austin? Question mark?
There's fewer regulations over there.
Drake Corp purges payroll and closing website.
Jerry Seinfeld joins board of Drake Corp.
That's how you know it's not funny.
Triumphant move, sir.
You can't say Drake anymore because of woke. Jerry Seinfeld's going to fix all that.
I think the funniest thing about Jerry Seinfeld is that he is somehow rewriting history so that Jerry Seinfeld was an edgy comedian, which is the least fucking true thing you could possibly say.
Like he was walking out there being like, hey, folks, you ever smoke crack?
Ryan, I love that. That is literally the funniest thing about Jerry Seinfeld. That is the first time I've ever laughed at him.
Like that Jerry was out there and go, hey, fellas, what's the deal with pussy?
What's the fucking deal? Yeah.
Like he ever got out to the Apollo and Jerry was like, I ain't scared of y'all. Like, no.
Now, Kramer was edgy in real life a bit. A bit too much, I would say. Is that what we're saying you can't say anymore? Because you couldn't say that at the time either. So,
Sad to report, there is not a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Cat Williams, which would have been a real fucking triumph.
It's a 50-minute drive to get coffee. You can't get out of the car. He won't let you.
Oh, listen,
I got more
dude.
To say.
he's on the way to doing that Comedians in Cars with Coffee with Alex Jones, where like Alex walks in, he's like, this is a Jewish psyop.
You can't say that on NBC anymore.
Yeah, you can't say that. We used to
That's
say that
something
all the time.
Elaine would have said.
What the fuck is in this coffee? I just know there's chili in here.
Like post Seinfeld, all that man has done is buy Porsches and not be funny. And post Seinfeld, all Larry
Which
David.
Which is a good way to live.
Yeah, before Seinfeld, all he did was not be funny.
Yeah. But the guy who actually made the show, Larry David, was like, I'll do the show without you, and it'll go longer and be funnier.
And you know what? I think we could all agree that Curb Your Enthusiasm constantly being held back by the wokes. Mm-hmm. Constantly.
So true.
You can't say Wanda Sykes has a big ass anymore on TV. They won't let you do that.
We're on like season 18 of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I was just, like all I saw like yesterday was people would post the Seinfeld thing and then post Always Sunny memes.
You can't do that. You're like, that show's done nothing but try to find the rock bottom of humanity for 18 years straight on network television, no less. So anyway,
meanwhile, this guy's driving around drinking coffee. Yeah,
they won't let you drink coffee in a car with a comedian. It's too woke. Okay, I have an email from a listener that I need to share with y'all.
Was it sent to you personally?
Yeah.
How'd they pull that off?
Hold on. You read an email.
Yes.
Recently.
Yes.
All right.
Was it sent recently?
All right.
Like, yes. was this your annual mail check?
Did it have some sort of deceiving subject line, like, free chicken today?
No, it did not. Even though I was recently caught at an airport by a coworker eating chicken, and I quote, aggressively.
But are we talking bone in? Was that the...
It was Popeyes. It was Popeyes. Okay.
That explains the aggression.
Like a piranha stripping down a cow.
If you were aggressively eating tendies, that would be one thing. But if you're doing carnivore shit,
just
that's
swallowing them like a python, didn't you?
Drake, the kind of rapper to eat tendies.
Look, I'm so tough. At the fucking airport.
He calls them fingies.
Yeah.
Is that what they call him in Canada?
In his duck voice.
Fingies, I mean, with an O somehow.
F-O-E.
Foingies.
Yeah. I bought fangies for all my boys. Drake brags about shopping so much.
Yeah, like, well, your favorite rapper doesn't like Drake, but Drake can afford so many foingoos.
Yeah.
Honey mustard too spicy.
He's got a Canes in his house. That'd be the most Drake thing to do. Give me the most tasteless chicken fingers and make sure I can get them in my home.
Yeah, just scrape all the salt off. Zaxby's minus the salt. That's Raising Canes.
Yeah. So this is from Josh, and he says, just listening to the 424 episode of The Full Cast. This is the one where, among other things, we discussed what would happen if you injected mashed potatoes into your veins.
Mm, yeah.
As an emergency room doctor who has treated many patients who have injected things they shouldn't, example, pill casings, silicone filler, Arnold Palmer, etc.
The guy or the beverage?
Not allowed. HIPAA prevents you from asking that question.
Sorry. Good thing my attorney's on the call.
Miniaturized Arnold Palmer. Get in my blood.
Nano Palmers.
Inner Space.
Pim Particle Arnold Palmer.
This is the movie Inner Space, but with Arnold Palmer. That's what I'm interpreting it. That he's at a little capsule going, pretty nice in here. You could put a nice little, this is the liver. You could put a nice little fairway there. Tee off into the pancreas. That's a little par four there.
Large intestines, basically a golf course already.
Yeah. Ah, I remember playing 18 with OJ once. So he believes he can help us with the injectable spuds question.
Okay,
good.
If injecting a small amount of mashed potatoes into a vein, it would hopefully get caught in a venous valve, causing distal away relative to the trunk swelling of the limb in which you injected and a nasty infection, even if your mashed potatoes are sterile going in.
I want to be clear. Shit. This was the hopeful outcome. Mm-hmm.
By the way, that he said after the, even if your mashed potatoes are sterile going in, they probably aren't.
They're hard to sterilize. Is that the thing about potatoes?
I'm guessing food in general is probably very difficult.
This sounds like an anti-Irish slur.
What if you microwave it really long?
Yeah.
I would.
What if they're real hot? What if they're so hot?
What if they're straight out the McDonald's?
Email McDonald's fryers. ER doc about mashed potato sterilization.
You know how hot McDonald's fries get?
Oh yeah, that hot.
Just cram them on in.
Yeah.
Just set them on your skin and let your skin melt.
They won't let you get the apple pies hot anymore. Remember a famous episode of our show? Ass to stank. If it's enough to overcome the valves, which wouldn't take much, as they are, and this is all caps, or this is capitalized, not built for this, then it would flow into the right side of the heart with the rest of the venous blood, then be pumped to the lungs. Oh, that's bad. I imagine
you got a bad case of potato lung.
No, yeah, you want to talk about a World War One era athlete nickname. Potato lungs, McElroy.
Let me tell you, potato lungs was not long for this world, as I am about to describe. I imagine it would get caught in your pulmonary arteries, where it would block blood flow to the lungs. If your heart gives out trying to pump against the immovable side dish sludge, then that's what kills you. Otherwise, you'll be unable to get oxygen from your lungs to your bloodstream. This is similar in impact, but distinct from suffocation, which is what would happen if you instead drowned in mashed potatoes.
Ooh.
One caveat I look forward to discussing with my medical colleagues. Would butter, being liquid at human temperatures, make the mashed potatoes less deadly proportionally to more butter used in the recipe?
What about gravy?
Would more butter in your heart and circulation literally save your life?
Yeah. Also, I've been training for this.
Also, the human body has a volume range of like 4 to 7 liters of blood, but it would take much less to kill you in terms of mashed potatoes.
Sure.
Thanks for all you guys. Podcast Ronnie helped me get through some truly dark pandemic days, etc. Hey, thank you, Josh. Those are very nice words. But more importantly, like, we appreciate the nice words, but more importantly, thank you for helping me imagine dying by suffocating on mashed potatoes in my system.
It's like what if Vladimir Putin was from Illinois, basically?
Like, that's how he kills you?
Chicago journalist dead of potato heart.
Oh, it's shame this Tribune reporter died from potatoes in bloodstream. Oh.
I mean, if it's Chicago reporters, people are probably like, yeah, I could see it. This seems plausible.
Yeah. He just couldn't put the needle down. Couldn't stay away from
Big Ten Media Corps felt by starch. Sure.
That'll stay away from that buttery crack. You can't say buttery crack on TV anymore.
You can't replace all your blood with butter. You'll be canceled. No, Jerry Seinfeld, you smoke too tough.
Your body will self-cancel.
You have been canceled. I've been canceled by the woke medical of stuff of my body. That
the extreme left side of my heart.
which, might I add, is free of potato because it is all now in my lungs.
So this is a useful way, though, of, I think, delineating human from Terminator. Like, okay. I think you could inject the Terminator with potato and nothing would happen.
It would probably cook it.
Right. It'd probably be fine.
I think it would bake it for you.
Here's a hash brown. I'm going to poop a hash brown out for you.
This is the stupidest version of that scene in The Thing where they're doing the blood test, right? Except if you stay alive, you're the alien, right? It's just right. Like, yep, okay, we found the alien.
Right.
Everyone else is dead.
However, we've killed everyone. However, now we know who's not dead.
Now we have given
the alien a research facility.
And now the alien has mashed potatoes, too. So that's nice.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to make stuffed crust human? That's just what you did.
Oh, no. Alien got sleepy eating all the mashed potatoes.
Aha! He's vulnerable.
Now we strike, except there's no one who can strike. You can't make a fat alien and abandon it in Australia, Antarctica anymore.
You can't do it anymore.
Yeah, so apparently the alien was stuffing.
You can't assimilate a dog on TV anymore.
And I, Jerry Seinfeld, really want to do that.
You can't shoot at a dog from a helicopter in a movie anymore. And Chrissy Noem's like, actually.
You can't brag about it 20 years later and then get confused why all of America is mad at you. You can't do that anymore. I mean, I guess she got away with it at the time, so I guess it is true.
Yeah.
Then again, at the time, Michael Vick was going to jail for doing the same thing.
Injecting mashed potatoes into a dog?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Jason Kirk, hi, Ryan Nanny, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber. I wanted to
podcast business.
Oh, hey. It's business.
Somebody. It's a business. Hey. Immediate business. Let's do business. Straight out the fucking gate.
Podcast business, Ryan. Hit it.
Live shows, plural.
Woo.
The full cast is coming to Indianapolis for Carb Day of the Indy 500. Is there a handy link I have where you can go find those tickets? No. But if you Google Shutdown Full Cast,
you can go to pre-owned airboats. It's linked there.
That's true. We have linked it on pre-owned airboats. And if you Google Shutdown Full Cast Home Field Apparel, you will either find the Shutdown Full Cast collection or you will find a link to the show that we're doing in Indianapolis with Alanis King on Friday, May 24th. Serber's going to be there helping us out on the technicals of it. There's barbecue.
Shitload of barbecue.
We are cooking up potentially some special merch for it. We haven't settled on that yet. And home field hasn't said we can make it yet, but that has never stopped us.
We're going to sell it at the back of a trunk. Whose trunk? Maybe yours.
Doesn't matter. That's number one.
It'll be Alanis's because remember, she can get in her truck.
It's fair.
That's our whole thing. Can you trunk it?
Number two, we have another live show that tickets are not on sale for yet in Portland. That one's July 26th at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. I'm going to make sure I get that right. Yes, the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. I will tell people this now. This show, and I think there's going to be two shows that we do for this one. This show is in a planetarium because I have a very stupid idea to do a live podcast taping in a planetarium where the audience never actually sees us. They just look at Mars or whatever, and they hear a live show happening. And so that's what we're going
to
do.
If you ever want to go to a live podcast, so but not see the hosts.
You'll see the space potatoes, but not us.
Yes, yes. So be prepared for the dumbest thing possible if you go to that one. And number three, Cerber. Can you kick this one off? Because it involves you as well.
Saturday, August 24th at the Rialto in Raleigh, the first ever sports podcast festival. This is something that I think they're going to try to do every year. And the OGs are going to open up the show. Hand in the Dirt will be there as well. Woo! For our first ever live show. That's probably the OGs' first ever live show, although they do it at like a bar.
Yeah.
You can always go up and harass them, I think, in Raleigh when they're performing, which is a really nice... That's a feature of that podcast. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then you guys are going to headline the show.
Yep.
This is our first time headlining a festival, so I plan on wearing lots of like glow-in-the-dark bracelets and...
Mm-hmm. Are you the Drake of our show?
Lots of drugs. What?
Who's the Drake of our show?
Oh, fuck. Not it.
Shit.
Not me.
Nope.
I'm not going to put it on Holly because she's not here, so fine.
I'll be the Drake of the show. I like winning.
Spencer's rich. His haters aren't as rich as him.
I'm rich and I like winning, and that's
you know how many more figurines Spencer owns than all of his haters combined.
I'll buy figurines for all my boys.
Buys figurines like he doesn't even notice.
I don't even know. I did it all by myself too. That's why I'm on a group podcast.
Tickets for that show are not available for another few weeks. Keep an eye out for that one. But yeah,
May 25th, I think, is actually when those are going to go on sale. Great. So the day after our indie show.
Yes. So right now you can only buy tickets to the Indianapolis show. If you want to come, you should get on it because they're going to sell out before you know it. And then you're going to be sad that you didn't come and get a high five from Spencer.
As I understand, I haven't heard updated numbers today, but it's something like half of the tickets have been sold. And this is our first time actually announcing it on the podcast. So
Right. So, that's the bulk of I mean, there's other podcast business to do, but I really wanted to get that taken care of at the jump. So people who are smart, well, I was going to say and smart and just listen to the podcast and aren't on social media, but I guess that is like slightly better for your brain than listening to this podcast and being on social media. So
we're not as harmful as all of social media.
That's true. If you're doing that all at the same time, I have an instruction for you. Get some mashed potatoes. Get a syringe and then put 1+1 together. And
you can't advise people to do that these days.
We can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what voice I'm doing. Just Seinfeldish.
The usual other podcast business applies. Channel 6. Go check it out.
That is correct.
We're not all like this. Go check it out. Killer Ants. Go check them out wherever you listen to music and such.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Am I forgetting anything major?
I thought of a world without me, and you know what it was? It was hell.
Fucking sucked, didn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Wow. That sounds like something that would be approved by, say, Publishers Weekly and Kirkus Reviews.
Yeah, it sold over 2,000 copies at this point, which like way that's hard.
2000. We're way over 2,000.
Yeah. No, I was saying, you know, the average number was below 2,000.
Oh, right? Oh, yeah.
And you just fucking smoked that. So
yeah. Randy Moss scored way over 5 touchdowns. Did you know that?
We've sold over 2,000 copies, like, out of our house and at live events, in addition to all the ones on Amazon and elsewhere.
How if, like, do you still have a bunch in your house at this point, or have you successfully moved?
We still got a box or two sitting around.
Okay. Yeah. Because the photo you initially sent was, it was like, oh, good. Jason has a new roommate moving in, and it's book.
It was like, we have fucking furniture. There were days when I would, like, take calls on the on the wall of boxes. Like, I just set my computer there, and this is my workstation for the day.
That's what Stephen King does, too. He builds little forts and things.
Yeah, it was fun.
This is my loneliness fort.
I think it's his cocaine fort. That was what it was for... A
it depends on the time that we're talking about.
I cannot believe he did not write a book called Cocaine Fort. It's haunted.
Yeah. There's a couple of stories that are basically that.
It's possibly haunted.
Yeah. It's in Maine.
Yeah, if you want to, there's a reading of Shining The Shining that is Cocaine
That's
Fort.
That's Cocaine Fort.
I really want to think
haunted Cocaine Fort. Just
we're snowed in? Oh, I get it.
Misery is basically Cocaine Fort with friend.
Great friend. Really affectionate friend. I'd like to see an alternate Shining cover that just says Cocaine Fort. Same font. Same bloody font.
You just look at that giant stack of books he's got. He's like, yeah, I had a coke problem in the 80s. You're like, no!
That's
really?
Like, it turned out great for him, though.
Yeah. I mean, like blaring horn from the movie. Cocaine fort.
He's like every 50s baseball player on amphetamines, but it worked.
That's true.
You're like, don't do cocaine, folks. You'll become a wildly successful author.
Damn, Stephen King threw 38 complete games in one season. That's crazy.
Like, when we think about, like, cocaine-boosted careers, we think, like, you know, rock band singer. Like, no, just a guy on a typewriter.
I'm just adding this to the Kurt Angle, don't do drugs or you'll be incredibly awesome.
Don't do perks. You'll be quite possibly the greatest wrestler of all time.
Is Kurt Angle the greatest wrestler? No. Perk Angle.
You don't want me to Hulk up.
Yeah. Hey, Kurt, I need you to deliver a fevered 8-minute monologue of nothing but pure flames and then jump off the top of this 4-story warehouse. Got it. On it.
Anyway, go buy Hell's World without you.
Yeah.
For more information along these lines.
The cocaine fort of its time. Many are calling.
What is heaven if not a cocaine fort in the sky? It's made of, per all the artwork, it's just lots of like fluffy white flakes and stuff. So
it doesn't feel like there's anywhere private to go to the bathroom in heaven. Gotta be honest.
Well, so we were told, I mean, I know like all the artwork, everyone's like standing on a fucking cloud and like, I guess you're just supposed to pee on earth or whatever, but we were told that everyone gets their own mansion. Cause there's like a verse you can take literally and extrapolate all the way if you want. So you can shit yourself crazy all day. Lil Wayne said he had a hallway with like 10 bathrooms in it and he can shit all day. That's heaven. According to people who take one Bible verse literally.
Considering some of the things,
that's a Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. If you, so I was also told that in heaven it's like it's a worship service for all eternity, folks. If you don't like this, you won't like heaven. If you're telling me church or Buc-ee's, yeah, I know where I'm going.
That's not even a blink of a decision here, no. Brother.
No. Buc-ee's pays better too.
Just give
I'll
me
work
that wall
the,
of
I'll just
jerky
work at the Buc-ee's.
At Buc-ee's. I don't need the whole Buc-ee's, just the wall of jerky.
Just
and
the
I
wall
accept.
Of jerky?
Who needs the Lamb's Book of Life? They got lamb jerky.
Lamb. Listen, fresh brisket on the board. Never heard that in a church.
Server, what's your go-to jerky at Buc-ee's?
Yeah.
I've not gotten to go to Buc-ee's enough to have a big
brother.
Variety, but everyone that I've had has been phenomenal.
Okay.
I don't even remember off the top of my head, but I haven't had one that I was like, they were all really awesome.
I just got some churro cashews from Buc-ee's. That's Buc-ee's snack of the month right there. That's a winner.
Churro cashews.
I like when Buc-ee's does a nut treat because you're like, well, it's a nut. It's good.
It's good for you. Yeah. I was like, I pounded the whole bag for breakfast and it was like, all right, what a heart start morning this is. How much sugar is in it? Mind your business.
Don't worry about it. Not the nut. The nut's
it's counteracted by all the fiber or whatever.
That is one of the fattest. The fattest fat kid things I've ever heard in my life. What
candy cashews?
Yeah, oh, they're churro cashews. Like cashews aren't delicious enough. What do you need? I need to combine them with famously fat kid snack, the churro, which even sounds fat. Like, no, churro, it's a plant. Sounds fat.
It's a plant. It's basically a vegetable. Basically spinach.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm a fat guy, and I hear the word churro, and I go, you rang? Like, that's some fat kid shit.
It's a great place, and I'll be there for all eternity. Do you know how fat we'd get? Bucky's for all eternity.
You can't
just
die.
Just Jabba the Hutt's praising the Lord.
They'll be like, that's bad for you. You'll die. And you'll be like, puh, been there, brother.
Tried that. Didn't take.
Yeah.
How'd you get here? Mashed potato injection. Of course.
And now I'm pursuing my passions here. They can't hurt me. I'm more potato than angel now.
Potato Angel has to be some sort of Christmas store in the Midwest.
That's really good. Yeah, that's like the first grade thing when the farmer has potato surplus. So the VBS in Indiana is like, all right, kids, we have a million potatoes. Get to work.
All right, that concludes podcast business. I'm sorry that I cut you off immediately, Spencer. It was important. It was
okay,
important.
There's the end.
Yeah.
But now
I wanted to do this week. I wanted to talk a little bit about not just we're at the time in the year when the NBA is on, and I don't know if you saw the other night, but Charles Barkley, when they were talking about where the Pelicans were going to go, because the Pelicans did some extremely they did some loud quitting. They did not quiet quit.
Yeah,
they just decided the season was going to be done. And that they were going to
playoffs are hard.
They just committed a self potato. Yeah,
they did. They auto potatoed and they decided to just go to Cancun, right? And that is the joke, of course. Gone Fishing is the bit on
inside the NBA
on TNT that they do whenever somebody gets out of the playoffs. They Photoshop them into a boat where they're fishing, like presumably in Cancun, which a number of real life NBA players do in fact go to Mexico, Cancun, somewhere in that neighborhood after the season is finished. Anyway, they asked Barkley where the Pelicans were going, and he said Galveston.
with that dirty water,
that dirty ass water. People think, and my favorite part was the way he said this part. He goes, people go there and think they're going to the beach.
I don't remember who. Somebody brought up, like, very clearly, probably when he was at Auburn, somebody tricked Charles Barkley into going
absolutely
to Galveston for spring break, and it stuck with him.
It's a photo of him renting a bicycle. Like, Chuck, you put your big ass on a bicycle.
Yeah. It's an extremely funny bit, but it also reminded me of other funny bits on there. Of course, the time that they mocked the 911 call when the I believe it was the Clippers were running into the Rockets locker room. Help, Chris Paul's trying to beat me up, et cetera. But it also reminded me that they have these post-it notes they post on the wall there where they make their most sort of like outlandish predictions about the season, whatever is to come, right? And I was like, it's time to put up our own post-it notes, y'all.
So
like information-free, not just predictions about what are going to happen. Call your goddamn shot. And I don't mean, oh, I have an interesting insight, which based upon data I have seen, I am going to record for all of posterity. No, I don't want that. I want you to just pull some shit and throw it on the wall, and we're going to see if it sticks.
So you phrased this in the text to Jason and I,
yes,
and Holly as irresponsible predictions. We have, yes, done shows like this in the past, and we've called them bold predictions. And I asked you, like you to explain here, what is the difference between a bold prediction and an irresponsible prediction?
A bold prediction is one that might be weighted with a little bit of data, right? Mm-hmm. Might be, you know, something where an analyst could say, hey, I see a little bit of an angle here. There's a little bit of daylight under this otherwise closed door that leads me to indicate there might be something back here. That is a bold prediction,
right?
Right? It anticipates the development or emergence of a trend. Nerd, fuck that. I don't want that. I want irresponsible prediction. I want something that's true posting. I want something that is so far off the hip it's on somebody else's hip.
All right, can I offer what I think is maybe, this is not pulled from anybody who submitted this. I was just trying to think about an example of this. So let's say Missouri wins the SEC is a bold prediction. Missouri has some like good talent returning. They have a schedule that they got to play Alabama and Oklahoma, but like I don't think anybody really knows what to think of Alabama this year.
Right.
They don't have a non-conference schedule that's terrifying.
Yeah, you see, by the way, you see all of us at every point are going, that's true.
Sure.
Well, that's true. Sure. Look, we're moving towards this seemingly ever more logical conclusion that now, initially we doubted.
Now, it's bold because Mizzou hasn't won an SEC title and the SEC is getting bigger. And you know, it's still bold, but I think it sits in the bold framework. Right. Here is, to me, the irresponsible version of that prediction. Missouri wins the national championship, and they beat Nebraska in the title game to do it. That, to me, is an irresponsible prediction, because now I've taken two things, and I have to make both of them true in the highest stakes way possible.
The parlay. We're talking, this is a take parlay, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it irresponsible.
And not only two extremely unlikely things, and they have to combine, and there are like just incomprehensible emotional stakes there, because either for Nebraska it's yet another recent rug pull, or for Mizzou you're losing your best shot in many, many decades to the team you hate the most, let's be honest.
I feel like that's a useful example of irresponsible versus bold.
Yes.
Okay.
I think you have understood the assignment here.
Okay, good.
And several of our listeners, I believe, genuinely understood the assignment too, based on the quotes that you have pulled here. I think most people got it.
So we asked for submissions on Twitter. We got a lot, and I did try to filter them both along the lines we've just laid out, irresponsible versus, like, are there bold predictions? 100%. I wanted the irresponsible ones, and I tried to have a little bit of variety with who the teams were about. A lot of people have big thoughts about Alabama, obviously. A lot of people have big thoughts about Iowa, because this is the shutdown forecast, and that makes sense. So I have tried to, there are a couple places where I have multiple options, but I have tried to sort of limit it to the maybe like one or two a team. But I'm assuming this is also on us to come up with some of our own irresponsible predictions.
Yes.
So do you want to start with us or with the readers?
Let's start with the readers, and then we'll come back intermittently to us.
Okay. Jason, okay. Do you want to pull one first?
I would love to. From Matt F15. One team that's in the initial top 12 playoff rankings fires their coach by the end of the season.
This is a great one.
This really is a great
really
one.
Great one.
So let me tell you about a team that is entering the season with a coach already on the hot seat. Okay? Let's run through the first playoff rankings. They come out around Halloween, all right? This team, their first seven games of the season before those playoff rankings, Miami at home, FCS opponent at home, Texas A&M at home, at Mississippi State, bye week, UCF at home, at Tennessee, Kentucky at home. You're telling me the Florida Gators can't be in the neighborhood of 7-1 through that stretch?
I am telling you that, yes.
I'm saying anywhere between 4-4 and 8-0 is plausible.
If we want to be irresponsible, sure. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not seeing any teams there I'm terrified of. That's to say nothing of my confidence in the Gators. I'm just saying, looking at that stretch, 6-2 isn't the craziest thing I've ever heard. So let's just say the Gators are 7-1. The one loss to UCF, of course. And they're around 10th in the first playoff rankings. The following five games: Georgia at Texas, LSU, the most hyped Ole Miss team in almost 20 years, and at Florida State. Let's call that at least four losses right there. So we're going from 7-1 to 7-5, just like that. I think that does it. I think Florida's got a great shot to pull this one off, actually.
God, I hate this. I hate this very much.
But yeah, this was fun.
But it's not impossible at all.
To use a
recent example, the first playoff poll of last year, which obviously isn't the 12-team playoff, and this is far down, but like flip one result and it could have happened, and it still could have played out poorly. Number 19 team in the country, UCLA, 6-2. I will tell you right now, UCLA did not run the table after that. Mm-mm. And while they didn't fire Chip Kelly, there was a lot of rumblings that they should have and maybe were going to.
Didn't have to.
Yeah. Problem solved.
I have what I believe is an irresponsible, given the amount of talent on this roster, I believe I have an irresponsible prediction, but one that just feels like I want to get it out in the world because it feels good. That makes it irresponsible, right? I'm not supposed to feel good about my analytical predictions.
No.
As a pundit. No. This one feels good. 4-win LSU.
Four.
Do you care
about the schedule, or is it just
no?
Vibes?
I don't. Just, right? Right. That's good. What makes
I'm not even open. I'm not even going to open the schedule. That's fine.
Not even. No. That's a no look.
I'm going to take a peek.
This is Nick Young.
Even though I did. No. That's what makes this an irresponsible. Yeah. Makes me like, can you defend this? How dare you say this about LSU? It's an irresponsible prediction, motherfucker. I can say whatever I want.
All right. I mean, let's say we give them Nichols, South Alabama, and Vandy. They still got to play USC in Vegas at South Carolina, UCLA, Ole Miss at Arkansas, at A&M, Bama at Florida. There's a lot of tall orders in there, I think, other than UCLA.
Last time LSU failed to win 5 games in a season. Do you know when this was, Spencer?
Curly Hallman.
No, later than that.
1999.
Jerry DiNardo got fired. Yes. Where they, let's see, who were the 3 wins against? They opened the year 2-0, San Jose State and North Texas. Then they lost 8 straight games before they beat ranked Arkansas by 25 points.
Good God. At the end of the year. Saved it all up.
What a fucking LSU season that is.
I mean, that is the most LSU season because it was when they played Arkansas at the end of the season. And literally anything could happen in that game. In any year. That was the year when Casey Dick came out of nowhere to beat LSU when I believe LSU was favored by double digits. Yeah.
Oh, they also got to play Oklahoma. Sorry. So there's another. Yeah.
That defense is so bad. That defense was so bad, and they're losing a Heisman Trophy winner. And I'm just going to stop there.
And two awesome receivers.
And two incredible receivers. And the guy who's supposed to replace them all has had some things going on. So,
but you know what? We don't have to analyze whether.
No, I don't.
This is just.
But that makes. I think that makes it more fun. It's like, no. We're going to rely on LSU's defense to ward off the 4-game prophecy.
I am excited for LSU fans once they hit 5 wins to be in your mentions fucking constantly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Once they're 5-3, we sure showed him.
We did it. This is that meme with the champagne where the guy's in like third place.
Third.
Yeah.
That could be way down there.
Oh. Okay.
This is also going in my thinking that, like, in the new SEC and in the new Big Ten, when somebody starts a slide, fucker, that slide goes all the way down. Like, if you're gonna have an absolute rotted onion of a season, the trunk it goes so much deeper now.
Yeah,
for some teams, yeah,
it can work out that way. Yeah,
or you might luck into having more. Bumpers on your pool.
It's weird because like alley. There's also like part of having just sort of like looked at the schedules a little bit. Teams have like weird stretches where they're like, we have 5 home games in a row. We don't play a road game for a month and a half. Like, I don't know how much that will be a buffer to the kind of thing you're talking about, but
yeah, I don't know. But I think when things go bad in big leagues,
yeah.
Like, you can just take a drubbing for, like, months on end.
All right. I liked Jason's pick from Matt F. because it has a world of possibilities. Like, anybody can be in the top 12 of the playoff ranking, and then they can suck after that and fire their coach. Sure. 100%. This is one from follow_your_heart that's very specific. Pitt finishes multiple games with 5 points.
Sold. Gavel.
Like that's one.
And wins both games.
Yeah, I don't want to look at which games those are. Mm-hmm. I don't want to break down the likelihood of it. I just like that part of my brain now will keep an eye on Pitt football to be like, have they gotten a five win? Have they hit five yet?
What if they get one? They get one in like they're going to get some like West Virginia week three, and then it's like, oh my God, we're on pace.
We're on. Dude, no, we just need one more, and the bowl counts, God damn it!
I can't tell you how hard no look I just bought into this.
It's so good. Like,
you're telling me Pitt Virginia can't end 5-3?
That's fair. That's a fair point.
I want this is man, Matty Shaw put one way up on the flagpole.
There were a handful, and we have some other good Alabama ones, but this is. This is maybe the most irresponsible prediction anyone gave us at all.
It's from Matty Shaw 14. Bold, beyond bold, beyond irresponsible, frankly. And that's why I'm respecting this so much. Alabama 4 loses more games than UMass 3.
Wow.
Mind you, a UMass that plays Mizzou and Georgia this year.
So, wiping the rest of the schedule is what I hear. I like it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
At Toledo. This is rough. Rough schedule.
I'm not buying
at Miami of Ohio.
At Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I'm not buying this in the least, but goddamn, the bravado here is insane.
What do you think would get more attention if, let's just say, Bama loses 4 games? Like, I think that's obviously bad, but that's maybe not in the, like, red alert column for first year after following a legend. Or UMass going 9-3, like...
I mean, college football people would notice UMass going 9-3.
Yeah.
The general population would notice Bama going 3-4.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And a little, it will depend a little bit, like... If UMass goes 9-3, if UMass beats Georgia or Missouri, Mississippi State, I don't think it would quite move the needle as much. But like, I think either one of those potentially could do it.
I think Kirby would probably kill himself on the 50 if they did that. He would. He'd be like, "Senpai, I'm so sorry. I expect you to do the honorable thing by sunset tomorrow." Yeah.
Sunset, all right. so he can attend church, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is one that doesn't necessarily feel that out there, but I like it because it sort of like pushes my brain in interesting directions. I'm going to stay in the state of Pennsylvania. This is from Antifaldo. Penn State finishes the regular season 11-1 and still misses the Big Ten championship game. Mm-hmm. Like, the way schedules work now is plausible, because if you had 2 undefeated teams that Penn State hadn't played, that would make it work. If you had like weird tiebreakers, that would make it work.
I mean, I feel like the simplest one is they play Ohio State. That pretty much always just wrecks everything for them, is having to play Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, that is traditionally accurate, but
in the game is 16-13.
Right. Right.
James Franklin went for a 2-point conversion he didn't have to go for. Yeah.
Like, Michigan's not on here, so they can do it. Oregon's not on here. So, like, there alone, you have, like, if Michigan and Oregon don't lose more than twice and are ahead of Penn State and whatever else, that you might not even need Ohio State for it. God, this one, maybe this one isn't bold at all. Maybe this one isn't irresponsible at all.
Let me tell you the real, do you want to just keep extend this a little bit further?
Yeah.
Let's push this out a little bit further to make it further away from irresponsible and more into James Franklin anti-fanfic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be this, that they go 11-1. They miss the Big Ten championship game. They get into the playoff. And they're eliminated by like a much lower seed.
By 3 loss UMass.
Something like that. Yeah. Just like a horrible performance where like Drew Aller's been like lights out and they run the ball 52 times for 90 yards.
Sure.
Just something like, well, we thought we'd have to switch up tendencies.
You know what would really, we know would really fucking be miserable about that is that's probably a home game. Like, they're probably not in the top four. So that means they're gagging away a playoff first round game against somebody that they're hosting.
Doing all sorts of logistical shenanigans to truck 100,000 people into the middle of nowhere to watch them lose to UMass.
In January.
Fucking Christmas season.
Yeah. This is what Teddy Roosevelt wanted, god damn it.
He said we had to keep the sport. He said it's good for you.
I foresee a future where one day at 3:15 p.m. the sun will go down on 100,000 miserable Penn State fans. Now, all screaming, why didn't you take a timeout? You had a fucking timeout left. Bully!
Why didn't we just trust the bowls and polls?
Now fetch my potato injection.
Makes me tougher.
Server, you submitted one that I selected for our Clemson selection. Would you like to share it with the class?
Clemson will start 1-4, and one of those losses will be to Appalachian State. And I don't think that's just bold. I do think it's a little irresponsible because everyone always says, App State's going to get that Power 5 team, and then they don't do it. They did do it that one time, but they usually do not do that thing.
Now you have left out one key part of your prediction. You said after that they'll win out.
Oh, yeah. After that, they will win out, though.
Okay. So Clemson.
And I did
first.
Not say I do have a thought about who the one win will be.
Who?
I think they're going to beat Georgia.
Okay. All right. So I just want to be clear.
Woo!
Server is postulating a world in which Clemson beats Georgia, but loses, and then loses to App State, NC State, and Stanford in a row.
Yes.
Wow. So I will tell you, there's one little note of realism here, and it's that under Dabo, they're kind of a figure it out team over the first 4 to 6 games.
Okay.
And they really do sort of snap into whatever they're going to be around game 5 or game 6.
Yeah.
And I think they've always been comfortable with that because of the talent differential. And that's not really going to be as much of a case as it has been in the past. So, Serber, I'm not going to dissuade you from putting this in the irresponsible category. But I will say, this particular bit of fanfic has a little nugget of truth in it.
So when they're figuring it out, they beat Georgia.
Yeah. Well, I mean... because
you never know when inspiration will
they
strike.
Figured it out too quick. They had to go back to the drawing.
Hang on, reel it back in. Reel it back.
This Georgia game is much more like he got the roll up. Holy shit, he got the roll up.
Like Georgia, the ref didn't see it.
Double J style victory. You know?
Can you think of
the shorts?
I know we're deluded by current successes and the incredible run that Kirby Smart has had there, but what would be more classically Georgia than committing 6 turnovers against Clemson? That feels like that's you dusted off that bottle and you got it from deep within the wine cellar of Georgia sorrow. So that would be I buy it.
That game is at Clemson. It's not a neutral site, right?
It's in Atlanta.
No, it is. It's Atlanta.
Oh, it's in Atlanta. All right, never mind.
Clemson fucks around in Atlanta, too. We like playing there.
Okay.
I do like the idea of the return of silly Georgia. They've got their two titles. Let's run it back. I want silly Georgia back.
Transitive loss to App State, Georgia.
Transitive loss to Stanford, Georgia.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Great. Okay. Spencer, give us another.
At Holden Link has, I think, one that I could kind of buy. Like a 3% buy. It's a black swan occurrence. At some point in the season, Georgia Tech will win 3 consecutive games for the first time since 2018.
That's just that fact. Like, that's most of why I put this one on. Is I was like, I know it has not been great times recently for Georgia Tech, but they really haven't won 3 in a row.
It's a scientific term. That's a whole lot of butt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
3 in a row. Given how bad they've been, that is an irresponsible wager, right? But given how bad you'd have to be in a row and what an accomplishment that would be, I'd take a flyer on it. Sure.
Do you want to schedule hunt for this one?
Though it is against the spirit of this,
uh-huh. Yeah.
By even looking a single thing up,
right?
I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
Okay. So, if we look at the 2024 Georgia Tech football schedule, and we're looking for three wins in a row, I think I can see three off the top.
Okay.
It's not easy, but okay. You could do this. Okay. So you're gonna lose to Florida State in Dublin. A real thing I can say. And you're going to get made fun of so hard you'll cry because they're Irish. Then you face the Georgia State Panthers. Not a pushover, but a winnable. At Syracuse, again, winnable. And then you get VMI. Those are three in a row. And then it's not going to be four in a row because you play Louisville.
I think I agree with that, but Louisville is kind of Georgia Techy in a way where it's like, right when Louisville is on a roll, that's when they will barf up a game.
Is there? I have a counter. Is there quarterback Jack Plummer anymore?
No, it's not. No.
Okay. No. So that's a win.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, if it's not that stretch,
it's not any of them. It's not that stretch, brother. They need to get it right there because it's not happening otherwise.
I could talk my no, I couldn't. I would like to talk myself into Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Miami, just because I think that would be a very funny three games in a row to win for Georgia Tech. But
I think they can hang with anybody in that conference. I mean, it's they're a scrappy little bullshit team.
But the problem is, can they hang three times in a row?
That's a lot, but there's not. I guess there's not a single team on their schedule other than toward the end that I'm like, oh no, that they're out of that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Jason, do you have another one you want to pick?
From Drew Ham 5, Pac-12 makes the playoff this year. So, I have looked into the Oregon State's probably the better bet for the Tribulation Force to make the playoff. Mm-hmm. Their power conference games, Oregon, Purdue, Cal, Washington State. If you beat Oregon and you get them at home and you get them early, that's likely
so
going to hold up pretty well.
That's going to be
it's
weird.
2.5 months too early. That's fucked up. Before power conference wins, okay. Otherwise, a Mountain West schedule that you don't have to play. You do have to play Boise. You don't have to play Fresno State.
You got to play Air Force.
You got to play UNLV. So, like, you have to play. You're gonna end up with, I think, lots of. If assuming you go undefeated, Oregon State, mm-hmm. I think you'll end up with a nice number of wins over teams with winning records, and potentially a top 10 win over Oregon. Like, I think the undefeated, you know, throw in a power conference championship, hastily scheduled conference championship against Washington State to tack on another win. Sure, that's a playoff resume. In the big ass playoff year,
it's almost like a weird BYU existence. Like before BYU joined a conference, that this schedule sets up where it's like there's enough power conference meet here that you can kind of see it, but it's also like it's hard to go undefeated, and I don't even know what the playoff committee would do at this point with it. Like I don't know what the playoff committee would do with, let's say, one loss Oregon State or Wazoo.
Let them in.
Maybe.
I think they'd get in. So if they're 11-1, mm-hmm. I think.
I mean,
are they going to let them in over a two? I don't think they'll let them in over a two loss power.
So they'd have to rank. They'd have to rank 11th or better, because like that auto bid will. Go to someone else.
But do they get the auto? Yeah, right. They won't. Yes.
They're not eligible for that, right?
Right. I don't think so. I don't think they are.
To be fair, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen.
Also, like, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think you're the problem. I don't think college football knows the answer to this.
I was briefly like, oh, what an idiot I am for not knowing that. And then I'm like, why in God's name would anyone need to know that?
No.
If the Pac-12 still has its auto bid or whatever, or is eligible for any. So, yeah, Oregon State will make the playoff.
Done.
That's
sold.
That'd be good. All right, I'll go ahead and just walk right out onto a limb here. Nebraska's going to win the Big Ten. They're just going to do it.
It's time.
It's like whatever God has been mad at Nebraska football for the better part of, what are we looking at, like almost 25 years now?
Mm-hmm.
That debt has to be paid by now. Like, the players involved with Cornhusker football, they were not even alive when this was a, like, massive machine of a program. They certainly weren't sentient. And it just has to be time for the shoe to, like, it can't all be bullshit and stupid. It can't be that forever. It's some, like, Mr. Bean is a character. He is not a real person existing as a college football team. And he, like, fuck it. Nebraska's just going to win the Big Ten outright. They're going to win the, they're going to go to the conference title game. They're going to be 3 touchdown underdogs, and they're going to fucking win the game.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then Matt Rhule's going back to the Panthers.
Matt Rhule is...
God, he might have a better team right now.
Yeah. Matt Rhule's going to cut so many promos. He's going to cut so many hard promos that mm-hmm. they have no choice but to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, Nebraska schedule.
You can talk yourself into it.
Yeah. It's like you do the usual thing. Well, we're obviously 7-0 by the time we go to Ohio State, right?
But like, you know, we know the record of close losses, and like, not just close losses, but close losses that happen in the stupidest and most unfortunate ways. Nebraska has to be due for all the bullshit. Like, you got benefited from all the bullshit.
I think Missouri fans are like, no, they're still
no.
They got that already.
I like that Ryan is making the same argument I do when I don't want to leave the roulette table. Like, 00, it's coming up.
I will say, this is the same. I don't do it anymore, but this is the same thing I used to do, and for obvious reasons, in the last 3 years, I stopped doing. Where it's like, you get to New Year's Eve and you're like, next year's going to be better. It just has to be. And it turns out it's just the calendar turns and that's it. Nothing actually changes because of that.
I'm due, baby. Poland, 1938.
But for Nebraska, it is true this year.
Oh, yeah. I see the difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I see the difference in those two things. Yeah. how sometimes past results are, in fact... the harbinger of entirely different results going forward.
That's right. It's not just that the penny has been heads for Nebraska for 2 decades. It's that the penny keeps fucking like poking them in the eye.
I think it's that they have run out of pennies that have heads on them. Now they only have stunt pennies and they're the right ones.
That's right. It's going to all be fine.
At Matt Kaufelt, another team in Texas not named the university will get a playoff win.
God.
I have the funniest suggestion, and I'm not going to look at the schedule. I'm not mm-hmm. going to pick name off mm-hmm. it, but I am going to give you this. It would be so fucking funny if Texas Tech just gritted and gutted and gird and grudged their way to a playoff win under Joey McGuire, because Joey McGuire would be saying the most irresponsible shit imaginable if they won.
What about ACC champ SMU?
A lot of good possibilities here. If UTSA mm-hmm. wins a playoff game, Texas A&M gets to be like, shit, we hired the wrong... I knew we should have got Jeff Traylor. I knew we should have done it. Baylor or TCU, it's like, good. Texas was holding us back the whole time. We didn't need them. Yeah. Texas A&M, we get to immediately be like, yep, was Jimbo's fault. Jimbo was no, was the problem.
It's worth just, it.
Yep.
Yep. Worth it.
Yes. Thank you,
Jimbo, for laying the yes. foundation.
What an investment it was, firing that asshole.
I'd pay double to win a playoff game.
I love that we've gone for, so this is now the first time I actually like the big playoff. Mm-hmm. When it's like, woohoo, we won a playoff game. Oh fuck, now we gotta play an actually good team.
Now we gotta go to the Orange Bowl and get our heads caved in.
So now we have done all that shit just to make the old playoff.
Mm-hmm. Spencer, before you go, I want to leave you with one more.
Okay.
This is from @Deimos75. We're not gonna explore the possibilities of this. Florida beats Miami, Florida State, and UCF, but fails to make a bowl game.
Love it.
Fucking
absolutely
terrifying.
Love it. Because you know what? I would be like, who fucking cares? That would be Miami.
Yeah, that would be the best way to go 5-7 or 3-9, frankly. Like, yeah.
It would be funny if we handed Miami their only victory and it was because Mario Cristobal got distracted by a fly in the lights or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think whenever you have a season like that, just make state champs shirts.
100%.
There's so much beauty in the world. It's just a bag, Mario. Call your timeout.